How many people can say they played Moses and Hitler?
Well, it's true. It's true. You play a wide range of roles with the Rudyard Shakespeare Company because we are taking the largest, most important events of the world and in our history. Thank goodness I don't play Abraham Lincoln, because we do, in our tasteful reduction of American history, we do perform the Abraham Lincoln Assassination Ballet.
Yes, that is something. That is quite something.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 122, Meet the Press. Part of our job at the Reduced Shakespeare Company, part of the job of any artist or arts organization, is to get the word out. Let the public know there's a show going on. Now, that's kind of hard to do in some places. Scottsdale. Excuse me. But in San Diego, where we're performing for two weekends in April, it's been pretty easy so far. San Diego Repertory Theater, where we've played several times before, has so far set up interviews with us on the local NPR station, the local CWTV affiliate on their morning show, I think. And just this morning, I was interviewed by Pat Lawner of the San Diego News Network at SDNN.com. In many ways, it was a typical interview, but mostly it was a kind of refreshing change. Just a free-ranging conversation that lasted for an hour, and Pat was gracious enough to let me record our conversation, the highlights of which you can listen to now.
So do you have a whole all stable of people then, the three of you?
We do, and we do have, and stable is a good word, because we have to keep them fed and, you know, clean up after them and groom them. We do. It's a great stable. Probably have about a dozen 15 guys in this country, and maybe the same number or more in the UK.
So, are you still having fun doing this much?
Oh yeah, no, I really do. I'm lucky. This is my day job. You know, other actors, have to wait tables or, you know, take temping
jobs. Right.
But this is my day job. I was Reed and I are joking now about how we can never imagine not doing the Reduced Shakespeare Company shows. We'll be like the Carol Channing and Mickey Rooney of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. We'll be so old, they'll be wheeling us on and off doing the RSC shows.
I can't imagine that, because you have to have an unbelievable amount of energy. I mean, you expend so much energy.
Well, it keeps us shape and keeps us young, you know? I mean, it's... But on the one hand, it is a young man's game. You know, I think there will come a time at which it will become unseemly to watch us cavort.
Unseemly, that's right.
It will lack seam. It will.
Yeah, well, the seams will show.
The seams will show, exactly right. On the other hand, it's funny that you say that phrase. That's a phrase that we show, that's a phrase we use a lot when we're creating our pieces. You know, we like to show the seams of a live theater performance. I think that's what makes the Reduced Shakespeare Company experience fun for an audience, is that, you know, there is this, when an audience comes into a theater, there's this unspoken agreement that the audience will agree to believe whatever the actors on stage, you know, set forth. And we like to acknowledge that unspoken agreement is happening. So there's a moment I love in the Complete History of America show, where I come out to the audience to ask the audience questions, and then they get a chance to ask us questions. And I'm using as my microphone, you know, just a cardboard paper towel roll, you know, but I will put it in front of people's face, and they will lean towards it as if it's an actual microphone. You know, because that is, they are so into the make-believe as we are. You know, it's not just the actors who are making believe, it's the audience as well. And we love that. We love acknowledging that.
That's funny. That's great.
It is great.
People love the behind the scenes. I mean, they like to see, you know, they always love behind the scenes of anything, movies, TV, you know, the theater. And you see that you change costumes that you do all the craziness that you do.
Exactly. And I think that's why people enjoy listening to our podcasts as well, because our podcasts are like hanging out with us after a show. You know, we can't have a drink with everybody in the audience after the show, but you can listen to the podcasts, and it's like hanging out with us.
So are you pretty crazy stage too?
No, not really.
Are you one of these kind of guys that's like somewhat, I wouldn't say morose, but certainly quiet and keep to yourself and keep your downtime when you're not on?
No, I definitely am slightly more lively. I know some of those comedians, and you know, they can't hold up their end of a conversation. You know, I definitely...
Woody Allen is like that.
Apparently, yeah. He doesn't want to talk about his stuff, and he doesn't want to be the funny guy. You know, fortunately, my group of friends in Los Angeles, as I said, my wife was a Second City comedian in the 90s, and so there's a pretty strong Second City mafia, Chicago comedy mafia in L.A.
Oh, really?
And in that crowd, I am... I am so by far not the funniest person in that crowd.
What? Really? That's hysterical.
Yeah. So it's nice. It's nice. I get to sit around and watch them be funny.
So I assume you have a pretty good following. People who are, you know, slavishly devoted to you.
Yes, and they're both lovely people, the two of them. They're just we do. We have fans all over the world. Our podcast is in the top 5 in the performing arts podcasts on iTunes in the UK. It's in the top 20 performing arts podcasts on iTunes here in the US, and it's in the top it's in the top 30, you know, throughout Scandinavia, Ireland. You know, it's just we have fans all over the world, which is very, very gratifying.
It's amazing that it translates. So, I mean, the physical comedy, yes, but there's so much verbal comedy.
There is a lot of verbal comedy, and the American History Show is probably the most verbal, and it's also probably the one that translates the least around the world, because
more than Shakespeare?
No, it more than verbal. Yeah, actually, yeah, the Shakespeare Show is surprisingly physical and surprisingly behavioral. I mean, the other nice thing that I think translates so well around the world is that, yes, every show is a reduction of Shakespeare or American history or the Bible or whatever it is, but it's also, there's the relationship between the three guys, which I think with that, it's that relationship that people respond to around the world as well. You know, like they responded to the three Marx Brothers or the three Stooges or Kirk, Spock, and McCoy on Star Trek. You know, there's this something about the magic power of three, the Trinity. You know,
the Holy Trinity, right?
The Unholy Trinity.
The Unholy Trinity.
You know, people like seeing that dynamic between the strong, by the book enforcer guy, which is Reed, the pedantic, not as smart as he thinks he is, professorial type, which is me, and the sort of innocent man child who is maybe more of a savant and not quite as dumb as he first looks, which is Dominic.
So, what determines, it's something like the rep where you've been before, what determines which show you're going to do? You have an ongoing relationship with Sam? I mean, does he contact you and say, what are you doing, or what makes sense now, or does he know what he wants, or how does that work?
Well, it's all of that. We do have an ongoing relationship with Sam. It's been great. This is our third time down there. It's a perfect little space for us, and I think, yeah, he'll call us when we have, I think when we went down there the first time, we went with All the Great Books, and I think that was a situation where we contacted him, and said, hey, we got this new show, and we want to try it out. But then the second time we went down with Bible, I think he contacted us, and then I think he contacted us about this run as well. They had a two-week opening. They had a two-week opening, and they said, hey, you guys want to come down for two weekends, and you haven't done the America show, you want to do that one? And we went, okay, that sounds great.
You know, you sort of have something for everyone. I mean, you know, if you like slapstick, you got that, but if you want to plug into the intellectual end of it, you got that too. I mean, it's sort of a level playing field in a sense.
Well, that's exactly what we're trying to do. We do try to have something in there for everybody. There's as you say, the silliness and the smart stuff, but also just the different kinds of comedy. We have physical comedy, we have literate verbal satire. We have knockdown farce. We have smart jokes. We have dick jokes. You know, we have.
Oh, did you say dick jokes?
Yes, that is a term of art. Dick joke.
Hi, this is Deb Height, and you need to go watch a movie called A Bit of Counseling, which is available on funnyordie.com. For the time being, you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? You can see The Complete History of America abridged at the San Diego Repertory Theater in San Diego, California for 2 weekends, April 17th to the 19th and April 24th to the 26th. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for details and spread the word. And now back to my interview with Pat Lawner of the San Diego News Network, SDNN.com, who spoke with me just this morning.
How much is actually improvised or ad-libbed, or how much is pretty much set? Because these scripts are published already.
It's pretty set. It's not as improvised as people think it is.
Right.
It's all very scripted, and it's all tightly rehearsed. We have moments where, you know, we have audience latecomers, or we'll get a question from an audience we don't expect. We have those moments where we have the freedom. We've given ourselves the freedom to improvise. And go off, but we sort of know how those go. You know, every now and then we'll...
Yeah, kind of like improv. You kind of know what's going to happen. You know, it's a pretty a fairly narrow range of what's likely to happen, I suspect.
Yes, exactly. And again, my wife, the Second City veteran, says, well, that's not true improv. And true improv is where you are really just flying by the seat of your pants and you never do the same thing more than once. And so what we do, every now and then we'll come up with a really funny, truly improvised moment, and we'll go, ooh, that was great. How can we recreate that moment every single night? which is the antithesis of improv. but the challenge for us, I mean, it's the challenge for every actor on film or on stage, is that you want to make it look that this scripted piece
right.
is happening for the first time right before your eyes. And I think the challenge is even greater in comedy, because you want, particularly we, want that dangerous seeming edge of, oh, these guys, I've gone off the script. These guys are making it up for this audience right now.
That's great. I mean, it's hard to pull off every night.
It is hard to pull off, and that's why, you know, we've had some actors who can't do that, who are fantastic actors, but they don't have that spark of making it seem completely just improvised and made up.
Is there a trick to it? I mean, is there what makes somebody be able to do that and somebody not be able to do that?
I don't know if there is a trick, but it's like some actors can cry on cue and some actors have a really natural sounding fake laugh. And some actors, I think for us, we look for actors who are comfortable being themselves on stage or playing an aspect of themselves on stage. Some actors are not comfortable with that. Some actors want to bury themselves in a character, either through makeup or posture or just, you know, just diving into this. But we want actors who are comfortable being themselves on stage or playing an aspect of themselves, so it seems like when they drop in and out of character, you can see the difference. The actor can see, oh, I see, now he's talking to me as himself. Oh, but now he's playing George Washington.
So, but these characters that you've created, how much are they a part of yourselves?
They're a big part of ourselves. I mean, they are heightened and exaggerated aspects of our own personalities. And when different actors come in, we encourage them to make the character their own, because the guy who plays, I play the professorial role, but I play it my way. We'll get another actor in, maybe he's shorter, maybe he's younger. maybe he's more nervous than I am. I guess I'm more of a Tony Roberts. We have another actor who plays my part who's more of a Woody Allen type, you know, so that changes the dynamic a little bit amongst the three actors. So it's also fun for us as actors to be playing with different combinations of our stable. And in fact, I think the last time we were down in San Diego, it was that there was a, we had two different combinations of three guys. Because we had so many gigs going on at that time, I couldn't come down to San Diego last time because I was in San Francisco.
So let's talk about this complete history again. I understand that you did an election edition. Is that what you is that what you're doing here, or is some of that coming here, or have you jettisoned that, or have you added more new stuff? How's that going?
Well, the American History Show is one of our hardest shows to do because they keep writing American history, so we keep having to reduce it. And so the special election edition, a lot of the material from the special election edition will come to San Diego because, of course, we have a new president now, and so he makes an appearance. But really, because there's always new stuff happening in American history and in the news, you know, the special election edition will sort of morph into the special San Diego edition. You know, it will be as timely as yesterday's headlines.
And is there a question that stands out that you remember that really, that either cracked you up or really caught you off guard?
I do remember once they said, somebody asked, who carved George Washington's wooden teeth? Which is a legitimate question, and fair enough. But I was very proud of myself because I immediately said, well, George Washington Carver, obviously.
Oh, wow, ba-da-bum, well done.
I was very proud of that, and in true RSC form, we said, hey, how can we do that every night?
Yeah, really? Wow, did you write it in?
That's one of those jokes. If you wrote that joke out, people will go, oh, that's terrible. But if you come up with it spontaneously, then people go, oh,
spontaneously,
all right.
That's damn good. And I mean, what, you know, when you talk about, people talk about the method in your madness. I mean, especially in this one, do you have an intent to inform in any way or to enlighten or to make people think, since you bring up some of the not-so-great chapters of our history as well? What's your ultimate aim?
Well, the ultimate aim is to just make people laugh. But and we've discovered over the years that it's more fun to make fun of things that are important and serious. A fantastic byproduct of the fact that we take on important, thoughtful topics is that sometimes people, after they're done laughing, kind of go, ooh, that was kind of interesting, that point that they made.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your press releases and interviews via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can also interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Just click on forum or find us at facebook.com, myspace.com/reduceshakespeare, or become a subscriber to our channel on YouTube or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, PR marketing director Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Victoria Ray. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Deb Height, the co-writer and co-star of A Bit of Counseling, winner of the 2009 LA Comedy Shorts Film Festival Audience Award, and available for viewing at funnyordie.com. Remember to click on funny, NSFW, by the way, not safe for work. Thanks very much for listening, however. I'm Austin Tichner, 122-366th of the very safe for work Reduce Shakespeare Company.
And I promise to edit it in such a way that neither of us looks like a complete moron.
That would be pleasant.
And in my case, a nice change.
Yeah.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.